Good morning. I'll just wait. Josh is busy.
No
Good morning. We're going
way.
to go ahead and call the meeting to order, the annual meeting of the State Farmland Evaluation Advisory Committee, held at the Utah State Tax Commission at 210 North, 1950 West. It's about 11 o'clock on Thursday, August 28th. I'm going to go ahead and make sure I'm on silent. I'm Commissioner Jennifer Frescas. I'll be chairing the meeting today. I'm going to go ahead and have everybody introduce themselves for the record so we know everybody that's in attendance.
I'm Commissioner Michael Cragen from the Utah State Tax Commission.
Do you want to ask for executive assistant?
Let's go ahead and go start with the onlines, I guess, since nobody's speaking up.
Alex Jaroslawicz, economist for the Tax Commission.
Gerald Osborne, Utah State Tax Commission.
Brady Kelsey, Utah State Tax Commission.
I'm Dylan Faith with Utah State University and I'm on the committee.
Thank you.
Amber Brown, Deputy Commissioner, Utah Department of Agriculture and Food.
Chris Stitt, Policy Analyst, Legislative Research and General Counsel.
Dale Bagley, Pike County Assessor and a representative for the Assessor Association.
Thank you. I think we saw Tracy.
But, Tracy Nuttall, Legislative Liaison at the Tax Commission.
Thanks, Tracy. Does that cover everybody?
Rex.
I don't think we have Rex online with us today.
Telephone.
Oh, perfect. Rex, can you hear us, Mr. Larson? If so, you're on mute.
Audio.
Okay. I don't know if he can see the chats, but will you just chat him to see if he can hear us? Or we kind of dig in. Rex Larson, Mr. Larson, if you can hear us, we cannot hear you. If you're able to unmute and looks like you are unmuted.
I'm driving right now, or my wife is, so that we might be in and out of service.
Okay, I'm glad you can hear us. Now that I know that, we'll move forward.
Yeah, it just okay. Keeps jumping.
Gotta love that. Okay, he'll be back. Okay, well, welcome everybody. Thank you all so much for coming. We're gonna start now by going to, well, actually, let me make sure.
People in the room to introduce themselves.
Oh yeah, I do, thank you. It's been a morning. If you would go ahead, then we'll start with the USU folks.
Yeah, Ryan Larson, Utah State University.
Then Robert Lee, Utah State University.
I'm Terry Camp with the Utah Farm Bureau Federation.
Thank you.
Matt Diary with Utah State Tax Commission.
Josh Nielsen, Property Tax Division.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Cragen, for keeping me in line. Okay, so the next item that is actually on our agenda is Commissioner Cragen. He's going to do our OPMA for the last time. I'm afraid I can't convince you to come back and do it next year, right?
I think somebody else can be assigned to.
Oh, man. Okay. So that notwithstanding, we'll go ahead and turn it over to Commissioner Cragen to keep us in line with our open public meetings.
I think that Shantae is going to share my slides.
Oh.
Start the slideshow.
Maybe.
I clicked start show, but hold on. I think I have to.
There we go.
So slow. Little lag.
All right. So I'm here to provide the annual update on the Open and Public Meetings Act This is required by statute for every public body. This group is a public body, and so even though you only meet once a year, we still comply with the statute by showing this training. So if you'll go to the next slide. So just as a reminder, when a public body is doing the public's business, they need to do it in a public meeting. They have to make audio recordings and make a set of written minutes ready for public review. It is permitted for a public body to close its meeting, but there are only a few specific topics that can be discussed during those closed meetings. None of them really apply to this committee. If a body does close its meeting, they can't take any action. Interestingly enough, the only vote they can make in a closed meeting is to adjourn the closed meeting. And then after that, they go back to their public meeting to end their actual meeting. Just as an FYI, there are some bodies that are required to have closed meetings for specific purposes. Again, this is not one of those bodies. So that's just a reminder that when you're talking about the topics that you have been appointed to discuss, you have to do it in a public meeting. Shantae has helped you to post your agendas and your notices, and she will help to post your recordings and your minutes and all of that stuff. So everything is happening as it's supposed to. If you'll go to the next slide, the purpose of this really is to give you an update on what the legislature did in its last general session. And the good news is they didn't do anything that impacts the Utah State Tax Commission as far as the Open and Public Meetings Act is concerned. So this is probably the easiest update I've done in my 16 years here at the State Tax Commission. If you will go to the next slide, Shantae. There were some bills that the legislature did pass that dealt with Open and Public Meetings Act, but as I say, none of them really impacted the Tax Commission or any of its constituents. So that is your update. I'm happy to answer any questions if you need me to.
We have any questions for Commissioner Craig about the zero changes? We really like that part. Well, with that, then I will thank you very much for all of the OPMA trainings that you have provided.
My pleasure. This is my last official action as a tax commissioner. My term ends tomorrow. So thank you all. I'll excuse myself if I may. Oh,
now we must get out of the last action.
Done.
Thank you so much. Have a good afternoon, if I don't see you again before I come out. Great. Okay. With that part taken care of, I'll go to the next agenda item, which always gets like a lot of response. So now I have to turn it over to anyone who wishes to address the committee for up to 3 minutes on matters not related to a pending or reasonably imminent appeal to the commission. Does anyone wish to avail themselves of this opportunity? Crickets. Okay, great. That made that an easy agenda item. We'll move to the next one. Okay, so the next one is to approve meeting minutes from our August 29th, 2024 meeting. And I would look to anyone on the committee for a motion. I get a lot of crickets here too. I'm gonna have to assign people.
I'll move to accept Dylan Fates.
Thank you, Mr. Faze. Motion is in order. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Do you have any nays? I heard three votes at least. And I'm not sure if Mr. Larson can hear us or participate at the moment because of his phone, but we're going to go ahead and pass that. And we have approved the meeting minutes of August 29th, 2024. So moving right along, I'm on the right page. Now we're gonna move to the presentation, which is what we're all here for really, of the farmland evaluation report that USU so graciously puts together for us each year. And you know, probably unwelcome for them, but we nudge them to get it done a little earlier this year. It does help us to get on the right agendas so we can get it through the public comment in order to get it going for the next year. So we really do appreciate that. And for you putting up with all of our reminders. To
okay.
That being said, I'm not sure which of you is going to present this year.
You can.
Okay, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Do I need to use the mic?
You can. These will pick up for the meeting, people. So.
Okay, awesome. Well, we're grateful to be back here. The year always goes so fast, so we are appreciative of reminders, and we don't frown on those at all. So thank you for always being willing to work with us on this report. A couple key highlights that we wanted just to address as we think about the recommendations that are coming out of this report with slight increase of land values for most of the counties. You may see that and say, well, the state of agriculture this year is not great. Why are we recommending slight increases? And that has to come back to the methodology that's used in generating these recommendations. So first off, right, we use a five-year average of commodity prices and a five-year average of yield. So when you think about hay prices, alfalfa prices, I know that they're low this year, and they've been, so you have to think about that five-year time period and that rolling average of those five-year prices to understand why that slight recommendation in the change in land values, the taxable land, and also think about the five-year average of yields. We've had decent yields the past 2 years, and so that trend takes into account all that. We use, it's in Utah, it's hard, so we use costs. We're trying to use the most up-to-date costs we can find. When possible, we adjust for county-to-county differences, and then we subtract that cost from revenue, from the price and yield, to get that net returns for those crops. For the crop mix in each county, we do this on a county basis. We're using the 2022 Ag Census data. That's the most recent crop mix data that we have. So we use that 2022 crop mix data to calculate that for each county. Right. So, and in the report, you can see a detail on how that crop mix is taken into consideration to calculate the value. So that's really the background of what's being done with budgets behind the scenes calculating those values. But that five-year average is used to smooth out those peaks and valleys that we see in agriculture. So just to smooth out those trends. As if you look at some of the tables, just to highlight some of the changes we've seen, table two looks at those producer prices received for Utah's major crops, alfalfa, barley, wheat, corn for grain, corn for silage, safflower, and onions. And you can see when you look at that annual price change, there's a dramatic reduction in that annual price change. But when you look at that five-year, you can see the smoothing effect of using the five-year average, right? So in alfalfa, 24% reduction. But we have to think back in time to so it's actually just as we think about that 1.1%, basically unchanged. But it's still gathering those higher prices from the previous years. And we see that pretty consistent across all those, right? It's just 2024 was a tough year for grains, and we're seeing that, but it's that five-year average is smoothing that out. When we look at the on the fruit side, we're seeing a slight change in tart cherries, slight increase in apples and peaches and apricots, but right, just smoothing that change across time. Is really the goal of using that five-year average is just to smooth that out. On the yield side, we go to table. Table five shows yields. You can see that, right, slight reduction in some of those average yield change, but you can see that year-to-year change. If we follow that year-to-year change, we capture just the dramatic climatic events, weather events, production things that are affecting production in Utah, smoothing that out across time with those yield changes. On the input side, we saw some slight changes in inputs. They were one of the bright spots in 20, right? Those were down a little bit. So that's adjusting and impacting that net revenue portion, which impacts as land values. So slight downturn in some of those inputs that we see into agriculture. So with that, with taking those things into consideration, that's where our recommendations are coming, right? We look at slight increase in land values for most of the counties in the state. Some counties, Box Elder, Salt Lake, and Utah, we're seeing some decreasing values. The greatest price increase, $8 per acre in Weber County. Greatest price decrease, $16 in Salt Lake County. Orchard crop land increased just slightly, and that's based on just that slight increase in yield and price and the overall trend across some of those fruits. Meadow crop lands, we're seeing that just a slight decrease. Dry land crop land, small increase in the dry land values. And then finally, in the grazing land, remain the same. Now, I know a lot of you are thinking, well, cattle price, once again, cattle prices are record high right now, but that's this year, and we don't take it. Well, those prices will start creeping in the following years, but this year those prices were not included. So that's why it's that grazing land, non-productive land, no change for non-productive land. And I don't feel it's necessary to go over all the proposed changes, but we're happy to answer any questions that you may have or see with some of those recommendations.
Does anyone have any questions about the report or any of the inputs, any of the values, I guess? Man, obviously it's very familiar to what you did last year and the year before, so I do understand where you're coming from, and I personally don't have questions. I don't see anybody like jumping at the chance at the moment either, so I think you presented that well, and you get off the hook. Okay, so with that being said, we'll move on to our next agenda item, which is I'll accept a motion to accept the recommendations of the August 28, 2025 Farmland Assessment Report to the Utah State Tax Commission, for 2025. Can I get anyone to make a motion for me on that one?
I'll make that motion. Dylan Fates.
Thank you for jumping in on all of those motions today. I appreciate it. The motion is in order. All those in favor of accepting the recommendations, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none opposed, we will accept those recommendations. Taking those recommendations, they will be incorporated by our property tax division into a proposed tax commission administrative rule, which is the R884-24P-53 valuation guides for valuation of land subject to Farmland Assessment Act. So we anticipate that this would be heard in front of the commission meeting on September 11th, where we would vote to accept and publish the proposed rules. Then the rules would be published in the Utah State Bulletin for public comment, and they have to be in there for 30 days before we then come back and accept them as the values. So that's part of why we push it a little forward, so that we're not pushing up into the end of December to approve those. So the other thing I have on the agenda would be to discuss the next meeting time. Are you gentlemen okay if we stay on the early side and we aim for August 27th of next year?
Yep.
Well, Josh says no, so we're going to do even earlier. No.
All right, that works.
Okay, so we'll have Shantae send out a meeting invite for that, and we'll try and keep everybody up to date. If we have any changes in membership, please let us know so that we can get those adjusted. Does anyone have anything else or further that they wanted to discuss or anything they needed to?
Yes, this is Dylan Fates. I'll be retiring effective tomorrow. You'll probably need to change me out. You might visit with Ryan Larson some about potential. If you want to keep a Utah State representative, he can probably suggest a couple names.
Perfect. Well, congratulations to you. And it's unfortunate for us. I don't know who's going to make my motions next year, but
thank you.
I appreciate it getting to work with you.
All right. Thanks. Yes. It's been fun to be on that committee.
Okay, well, all of that being said, I would accept a final motion. And it being your last motion, Mr. Fays, would you like to make it?
Sure. Move to adjourn.
Excellent. Motion is in order. All of those in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
That's good.
Okay, that being said, we might have made record time today. Meeting adjourned. Thank you all for your attendance and your time.